This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Yona Levinson. Yona, how are you involved with digital asset management?
I work in the broadcast and media space, and I work on metadata strategy and terminology governance. In my past, I've also worked in the publishing industry. That's where a lot of my background is from, and I've been heavily involved at DAM throughout my career, because it's very important to make sure that your assets are managed properly. My particular area of specialty is in metadata, because without the metadata, it's really hard to manage your digital assets in your DAM system.
Yona, you were involved with the language metadata table. Tell us more about this.
The language metadata table, which we refer to as the LMT, is basically a table of codes that describe the different languages that can be used throughout really any industry. The initial focus has been on in the broadcast and media space, and it came about because I was in meetings at my company where people were talking about, you know, what code were they going to use for Latin American Spanish. And in one system, it was LATAM. Another one was LAS for Latin American Spanish. Another one was LATAM SPAN. And I thought to myself, being the metadata geek that I am, I said, this is crazy. We need something consistent. So we began looking at what codes could be used that would be standard across the industry. You know, I don't like to reinvent the wheel when it comes to metadata. So if something's out there that exists already, let's use it. And at the end of the day, we determined that IETF BCP-47, so that's the Internet Engineering Task Force Best Current Practice number 47, fit the bill for what we needed in-house, and we created a table that had about 128 different languages included in it. Now, the next part was that I was at a meeting at Mesa Alliance, which is the Media Entertainment Support Alliance, which is very useful in the broadcast and media space. And they said, we would love you to present this, the LMT, and we think it's so good, but it should become an industry standard. Or a couple years ago, we published the initial LMT, and we're now on version 2, and there should be another one coming up in the near future. So basically, there's over 200 languages in the language metadata table now, and it's being, we have a tremendous amount of support and participation across the not just the broadcast and media industry, but also standards organizations and other groups as well.
Yona, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with digital asset management?
So I've been in this space for a while. That's a really good question, by the way, Henrik. I appreciate that question. I've been in this space for quite a while, and what I have noticed is the evolution of DAM. So initially, people had their assets, you know, on their local computers. They would push them up to shared drives. When I started at one of my jobs working in the publishing industry, we were looking for some files, and one of the people on my team said, oh, I know where those are. They're at Rocky's house. And so Rocky had them in, you know, the assets copied onto a CD or DVD at his home and happened to not have thrown it out yet. So we were able not to have to recreate an entire, it was like a statistics book or something really complicated with math that was would have been expensive to recreate. Other assets were in boxes, you know, again, on movable media under people's desks. And so what I have seen is that first was getting the assets onto a DAM, and then there were challenges in how to better describe them and to get people to put the metadata, to apply the metadata to the assets that they have. So that's one, those are some of the big challenges. I mean, people now understand or starting to understand better about the value of reuse of assets. They're looking to monetize what they have already and in a different way, whereas in metadata, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. People don't want to reinvent the wheel with the assets that they may own already. So those are some of the challenges. So the successes end up being that people are, because they do understand more, there is more of a their metadata capture is included in workflows. Maybe not everything that we need, but it's getting there.
You know, what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
what I have found in my experience is that there are many people who did not necessarily choose a career in dam. Many of us fell into it. You know, dam systems were being set up in companies. Somebody needed to run it. Maybe they were working in you know, just an archival space or some kind of a storage or a library. And then it moved over into dam as people realized that they could do more with the assets if they were available and not just, you know, tucked away in a, you know, in a system where somebody had to go and retrieve it and burn it to media or to, you know, to call it back from some other kind of system, but really to have it available. So what I have seen is that the whole field of dam has really been evolving quite a bit. And I do encourage people to study dam in a more formal setting in some cases, especially those who are new and coming up and or want to participate in some kind of an IT field, but they may not necessarily be programmers or developers. Not everybody wants to do project management. And so you need these actual people who are going to do the hands-on work of managing a dam, making sure that the content is, you know, the assets are retrievable. So along those lines, one of the things that I've been involved with recently is I'm the co-founder and co-director of Rutgers University's Online Digital Asset Management Certificate Program. And this is a series of 6 courses. Each course is 4 weeks long, where at the end of the 6-month period of taking all these courses, then you end up with a certificate in digital asset management. So that can really go a long way towards for people who are new to DAM but are interested in it. So this way they have the background and awareness of what is needed in either setting up a brand new dam or updating an existing one, and you can come out with a portfolio piece. In addition, I also see a very strong need for people who have the, you know, library science background, particularly, you know, taxonomists and ontologists, because in order to really get the most that you can out of your dam, the content in the dam really needs to be described well. There are many different industry standards that I also encourage people to participate in. You know, first of all, you have to know a little bit about or a good amount about what area you're in and what your subject matter is. But participating in standards and having a voice in the creation and the updates of those standards also could go a long way, because you could make sure that your organization's needs are being met through metadata standards and therefore the requirements of what's needed to describe the assets in your dam. So, and always read a lot. Keep listening to important things like podcasts and other kinds of presentations that are out there. And be active and participate so that you can learn lots of great articles out there as well.
Well, thanks, Fiona.
You're welcome.
For more on this, visit anotherdampodcast.com. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.